Have you ever wondered how someone you admire became successful in their professional life, but also in their personal life? What does it take to become not only an outstanding leader, but an outstanding person? Welcome to Leaders Unplugged, a show that explores professional and personal leadership through conversations with leaders, regardless of where they are in their career. I'm Nicole Boivin. Cassidy Kuzmenko, who is 27 years old, has been a primary care paramedic for the past 8 years. She graduated from Fleming College in Peterborough in 2010 and went straight to work. She had to grow up fast. Cassidy is also a preceptor who trains and coaches students who need to clock in 480 hours of write-outs before they can graduate as paramedics. Being a paramedic is not for the faint of heart. My conversation with Cassidy will give you an inside view of what it means and what it takes to be a first responder. So welcome, Cassidy.
Thank you.
So I notice your name is spelled C-A-S-I-D-H-E.
Yes.
I've never seen Cassidy spelled that way.
I've never met another Cassidy spelled that way.
So where does that come from?
That is the Gaelic background.
Oh.
Yeah. So my family is Irish, so my mom thought it was neat to have something spelt differently.
Ah, so that explains the beautiful red hair.
It does. Thank
and
you.
And the nice complexion.
Thank you.
So you are a paramedic.
Yes.
What made you decide to be a paramedic?
So I've been a paramedic for the past 8 years. I'm a primary care paramedic for the region of Peel. My mom was a cardiac nurse for the past 33 years at KGH. So she,
what's KGH?
Kingston General Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was always helping people, and that's what inspired me to want to be able to help people like she did. Yeah, so that's
straight
how
out
it
of
all
school?
That's how it all started. Yeah, I was young when I went straight from high school to college and then college to becoming a paramedic. So I was 19 when I started, which is very young.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to grow up quite quickly, and you don't have a choice to be immature. Like, you have to be responsible and you have to know what you're doing.
Is that a typical career track for paramedics
right
out of school?
Usually they like you to do like a pre-health course ahead of time to kind of prepare you for what's coming, because a paramedic program is 2 very intense years of school. Like, there's no time for partying or things like that. You have to be very dedicated and very focused to be able to pass it, because you're doing physical testing, they want you practicing interviews, and then doing all of the like in-class and tests. So it's pretty heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, they like you to have some experience, too, because that plays a huge role when you're out on the road.
And that was different for you because you didn't have that experience.
No, I grew up quick.
I bet. Tell me about a typical day at work.
So our shifts are all 12-hour shifts. My rotation is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So we work 14 12-hour shifts a month. So you show up to work, and we work at a divisional stations. So everybody shows up to the same big mega station. You're assigned your truck. You go, you put your personal belongings on your truck. You start with a parade where the supervisor tells you what's new in the region, what's going on, how the hospitals are clearing, if we have any downstaffings and things like that. From there, you book on to your truck, and you book on with dispatch, and they disperse you in the region to have coverage. So they tell you which area of the region you're going to go to cover that area. So you can either go to a station, or you can kind of be mobile in that area just to cover it. So if a call comes in, they send the closest vehicle to that call. So it's kind of how things start, and from there, who knows what'll happen. You have no idea. That's one of the things I love about the job, is it. You don't know going into work what you're going to be doing that day. You can be in all sorts of different places, meeting all sorts of different people and doing different things. So it's pretty neat that way. There's not many jobs that are like that.
So what are the things that you enjoy most about the work that you do?
I love the people I work with. We have a very close group of people in our region, and it's fairly young. It's a fairly young service.
So would that be young? I mean, relative to me, young would be...
Yeah, we're like, you can start like anywhere from like 20 to 30. I'd say the majority of people are probably around 30 to 40.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty young.
Is it a young person's role? Because it's physically demanding.
It is,
Not only emotionally demanding, I'm assuming.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. You have to be in good shape to do it. So some of the guys who have been on since, like, the 1980s, like, it's hard. I couldn't imagine. Like, it's not an easy job where you're lifting people out of basements and carrying them upstairs and into the ambulance. Like, it is physically demanding, so...
And how do they manage?
I think you have to take care of yourself. I think it's a lot of eating well and working out and take care of yourself so you can do this job properly.
I bet.
Yeah, there's a lot of injuries.
And I imagine that you do have a whole regime around that, around working out, around your off days, that kind of thing.
It's a good way to release stress for me personally anyways, to work out. Like, we enjoy riding our bikes and hiking and camping and going to the gym, so... I think it plays a big part in looking after yourself.
Because there's a lot of stress in this role.
There is, yeah. It's not an easy job, and it definitely isn't for everybody. But you do need an outlet, and you do need to take care of yourself to be able to do this job.
I imagine a lot of folks want to know about the kind of work you do, but also the kind of situations you get in, like, what's the worst? I imagine you get the question, what's the worst thing you know you've done?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I appreciate you not asking that question, because it's the one question that paramedics dislike, is being asked, what is the worst thing you've ever seen, or what was your worst day? Because for us, it's reliving that traumatic experience, and nobody wants to. It's something that you have lived with, that you've dealt with, that you've coped with, and now you've come over and you're on the other side of it. So when someone asks, just for the graphic details of what was the worst thing you ever saw, it's reliving that all over again, something that you've already dealt with and you've been there, done that. But yeah, we hate that question when people ask that. But like, we have good days, we have bad days. We deliver babies, we also like take care of people who have died, and like it's a big
spectrum.
It's huge, yeah.
So what's the best call? Let me ask you that. What's some of the best calls you've had?
Oh, there's some good ones.
So tell us about this one call. You're quite excited about this one call around delivering a baby.
Yeah, it was, I would say this was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. We were called for an imminent delivery in a Swiss Chalet parking lot.
Oh my.
Yeah, so this lady was, like, there was no waiting to get to the hospital. Like, she was delivering the baby right then and there, and she was half in her car and half of it out of her car. And it's like,
she alone?
No, her husband was there, thankfully, yeah. But yeah, like, you have to do your job right there. Like, there was no moving, there was no going to the ambulance. Like, it was, when the baby's coming, the baby's coming. So, like, it's pretty cool to get to do a call like that.
They're few and
far between, those ones, because usually you can get to the ambulance or you can get to the hospital. Like, those are the calls that we drive really fast on, because delivering a baby in the back of the ambulance isn't ideal, because where your feet are and where the back door is, there's no room, really.
Okay.
And if things go wrong, then they tend to go very wrong, and you want to be in the hospital to have more help with that. But yeah, like, some of my coworkers have delivered on the side of highways before, and like in crazy situations. So it's pretty cool.
It must be quite something, as you said earlier, being with the parents at a time like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome. Just seeing their faces like that, like, that's the part that gets me. Like, you look at the dad's face and then he just starts crying. It's just such an emotional and like happy time.
Yeah. And they must be thankful.
They are. Those are the calls that really make you feel good, that you've really made a difference. Like, it gives me chills just talking about it. It does. Yeah. But those are the ones, like, those are the calls, like, you actually feel like, this is my purpose and this is why I'm here, and I am making a big difference.
So part of your role is really dealing with the situation wherever it is, and then transporting to a hospital if need be.
Yeah.
So your relationship with the patient is short term.
It is.
And then you have to hand them off.
Yeah. That's the part that gets us too, because we always want to know how it ends. Like, you start this story and you're there for all the they call it pre-hospital, and you're there in their house and helping them out and all the way to the hospital. And then from the hospital on, you don't really know how that story ends. You don't follow up, or if you bring someone down to a trauma center downtown Toronto, we don't know how they ended up or what happened from there. So it's, you get the story all the way to like almost the very end, and you're like, well, now what happened? So sometimes it's like, that can be pretty difficult, not knowing what happened.
Do you ever follow up to find out what happened? Have you done that in the past?
Yeah. Some of the nurses will let you know, like, oh, yeah, that past patient that you brought in, like, this is what happened. But it's kind of luck of the draw if the same nurse is working or if you can figure out, yeah, what happened or where they ended up going. Sometimes they transfer them to a different hospital, and then it's who knows. Yeah.
Have you gotten some patient feedback?
It's
you
great.
You really brightened up.
It is great hearing. You always like hearing when you do a good job,
of
right?
Course.
And in this, people don't call us when they're having a good day. They call us when they're having a bad day or it's their worst day. So it's not very often you hear like, wow, you did a really great job or thank you so much for coming, because they're pretty consumed in what's going on with them personally, right? But they do sometimes, they'll contact our service and then you get a really nice letter that, like, you know, you like, you made my worst day my best day. Thank you so much. Like, so those are like, when we get those letters, paramedics really appreciate it.
I bet.
Yeah. It's nice hearing when you've done a good job.
Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
That's a great question. So right now I'm a primary care paramedic.
What does that mean?
So we can do, straight out of 2 years of school, you can do primary stuff. We can give a certain amount of medications. You can still do CPR and cardioversion and defibrillate people and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step up from that is being an advanced care paramedic. So they can intubate, give narcotics, and do a bit more things. I have my IV certification, so I can do that. Like, I can start IVs as needed and administer medications that way. From there, you can do whatever you want. You can go and be a CCP, which is a critical care paramedic. They work on the helicopters, like Orange and things like that. Yeah, so I think this fall I'll most likely do my advanced care paramedic and then kind of see where it takes me from there. Kids
so
might be down the road. And
there's a career track, huh?
There usually is, yeah. But it gets to a point where you kind of max out. So you can do your primary care, advanced care. You could be a tactical care paramedic. And then you could go be a supervisor. But from there, there's not too much more room for growth. Like, you kind of stop at a supervisor, or you could do a commander, and that's kind of where it ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you see yourself going down that track at some point?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if I want to be a supervisor, but...
Is it because you enjoy the hands-on?
I do. I enjoy being on the truck and actually doing the calls. Whereas a supervisor, you don't do as many calls anymore.
Do you think that after a while, you've been doing it for 8 years, so you probably have a good sense of that, that after a while, it becomes tough to keep on doing this kind of job? Or you just find a way, especially if you enjoy it as much as you do?
Right now, I enjoy it. I mean, down the road, who's to say whether, you know, in 20 years, like, it's a long time to work all the way to retirement in this job. You see a lot of people going different routes, whether it's becoming a dispatcher, firefighting, or nursing, or things like that. People typically don't spend their entire lives doing this career because it is so stressful and it is so physically and emotionally demanding. Yeah, it's definitely not an easy job to do.
I heard you say there's family maybe in there. You are planning on having children?
I think so. We just got married in September.
Oh boy, congratulations.
Thank you. So we've been together for 8 years. So I think we're going to do some traveling for the next few years and then maybe kids from there. Who knows? We'll see.
And how do you think that will impact your life as a paramedic?
There are quite a few people who are married in this profession who both work shift work. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, it's hard. A lot of them work opposites. So it's like one person will work the 12-hour day shift and the next person will work the 12-hour night shift. So you don't see each other at all, but someone's always home for your kids. So I think it's you just have to find a balance, like, and taking your vacation time and preparing that way and having either your parents or somebody kind of around to help you out a little bit, because it looks difficult. Like, we don't even have an animal right now because we can't balance our schedules. Like, I can't even take care of a pet.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have to figure it out.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Are there many female paramedics? I have this perception that it's a mostly a male-dominated profession.
It was. In the past, it was mostly males. But now you're seeing a lot of females out there. There are quite a few. It's almost to the point in Peel region where it's 50-50.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of females, which is
great. But that's relatively new, is it not? Like,
yeah.
When you started 8 years ago,
yeah.
What would you say the ratio was then?
I would say it was probably 70% males. Like, it's quite a few males. And when you think of a paramedic or a police officer or a firefighter, you do think males because they're big and strong and they can do this job, but the females are totally taken over. They're doing good.
They're doing good. Yeah. And how is it, because, I mean, someone like me has a perception that it's mostly male. Don't I imagine your patients probably have that perception.
Yeah.
Or even some of your older supervisors.
Yes.
How does that play out in working?
It can be frustrating because you show up on calls. If someone called 911 and then you're there to help and two female paramedics show up. I've had patients say, you can't lift me or send the men or you're going to need some help or you're too small to do this. So you just educate them, like, I'm just as strong as they are. Like, we're going to figure this out. Like, we can do everything that a man can do. Sometimes better, too. But, yeah, you do see that a lot. Like, that people just think, like, this is a man's job. And it's not. It's not at all.
How do you stay grounded?
I think I stay grounded by having such a wonderful support system. My husband's also a paramedic.
Oh.
So it helps having someone to go home to who really understands you and understands when you've had a bad day or you've had a good day. He can truly appreciate that. And I also, our coworkers are my best friends too. So after you've done a terrible call or something, they're there for you. They're there for you, like right in the moment, like right afterwards. I have a wonderful partner at work. So I think having a great support system really helps you stay grounded. And also, having a life outside of work is so important. Doing things that you love and just getting away from it all and clearing your mind. Like, we really enjoy going camping and traveling. So that's time for us to just totally clear our mind and not think about work. And yeah.
So if someone was to come to you looking for advice on, is this something I should do?
Yeah.
A young man, a young woman, what would you tell them?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love this job. And it's not easy, but if it's something that you really want, if it's something that you're willing to work hard towards, then you can get there. It's definitely tough. Like, the 2 years of school is very heavy. And then when you're applying to the services, like, Peel just did a hire where you have close to 1,000 people apply, and then they're only hiring 50 or 60. So the odds aren't good. But if you're willing to work hard and get to the top percentage of your class, and you have to be physically strong, mentally strong, and they put you through rigorous testing to be able to get the job. But once you get there, it's so worth it. It's a wonderful career.
Okay. Well, Cassidy, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Being a paramedic is hard work, both physically and emotionally. As Cassidy pointed out, it is not for everyone, but it is a job where you do make a difference. It is obvious that Cassidy loves her work, and I, for one, am thankful that we have strong, capable, and caring first responders such as her.
If you want to listen to more conversations like this one, look for Leaders Unplugged at iTunes, Google Play, or NicoleConsulting.com. I also want to thank our producer, Josie Guimont, and our editor, Graham Harris. Until next time, I'm Nicole Boivin.